I hope that all of us got a vision here concerning God's work today. I think we all need to have a simple but very clear understanding of our history. In the past 2,000 years, it is very important for us to realize what took place, what happened, and how the Lord is doing a recovery work to finally rebuild Zion. This is very important. I hope really, especially the young people, you really need to see this. Right? And if you see this, then you'll appreciate Psalm 126, a very important psalm. Now let's go to the fourth category, the fourth stage, the fourth group concerning the songs of ascent. This is very important now. This category, or this group, talks about the maturity through suffering. I know nobody likes to hear about suffering. Everybody likes enjoyment, right? But without suffering, there is no maturity. This is what the Bible tells us. And this is also our experience. When you are a young boy, you're enjoying all the time, right, Johan? Going to school, playing basketball every day, right? Had a good time in school, and not much suffering. Then when you go to college, when you went to college, what happened? It's more suffering. It's harder. Now, after you graduated, you started with work. Is it full of enjoyment? There's not much enjoyment, but you really learn to be solid, to suffer, to bear the responsibility, right? And by doing so, your human life will mature. So if you have not gone through sufferings, it is very difficult for you to mature. And if you're not mature, it is hard for you to bear any responsibility. So when we come to these three psalms in the Song of Ascent, the fourth group, you will see that it is through the sufferings that the Lord will help us to mature in life. Let us read. Let us continue now with Psalm 129, right? We're in Psalm 129. A song of ascent. Many a time, it says here, many a time, they have afflicted me from my youth. You have to realize this psalm again is talking about our Lord. Nobody went through so much suffering like the Lord Jesus. Even at the time when he was born, Herod already tried to kill him. So the whole family had to flee to Egypt. So in the whole life of our Lord Jesus Christ, he went through a lot of suffering. Don't think suffering is not necessary. No, I don't think anyone who has not gone through much suffering can really gain much maturity in his human life. Now I want to read with you one verse. Firstly, one verse concerning our Lord. In Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9. You may think that the Lord, being the Son of God, becoming a human being, taking the form of man, did not need perfection. He still needs to be perfected, or needed to be perfected. Now let's read together. Verse 8 and 9. Huh? All who obey him, amen, to all who obeyed him, he became the author of eternal salvation. How does the Lord become the author of such an eternal salvation? You think because he's the Son of God, he doesn't need to learn anything. He will just be the author of eternal salvation. Do you think it's that easy? It is not easy for the Lord. He had to learn many things. And it says, although he was a son, he was the Son of God, becoming a human being, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. I really appreciate this verse. Because when I was much younger, I always thought, well, he's the Lord, right? Isn't he God? He's the Son of God. You think he still needs to learn obedience? It's hard to believe, isn't it? That our Lord Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, he had to learn obedience. And how? Through the things he suffered. You know, it's very difficult for young people to obey the parents. Why? Because you don't like to suffer. You like to be free. The parents tell you to clean your room. No, I don't like to do it. You would prefer to go and play basketball than cleaning up your room, right? Well, in the Philippines, of course, you're a little bit spoiled because you have a lot of helpers at home. Right? Now, suppose you don't have any helper at home. And your dad and mom tell you, clean up your room every day. Are you going to obey that? Yes. I guess so, right? And if you obey, you think it's easy to clean up your room, it's suffering. And if your dad or mom is a perfectionist and come to look at your room and inspect, did you clean up your room? Oh, of course, you say, of course I did it. But in the eyes of your parents, you did. What did you do? What have you done to clean up your room? Right. Don't think it is easy to obey. No, it is not easy. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, in many things, not only many things, in all the things in his living, he learned obedience. If you were God becoming a man on this earth, which family would you like to choose to be born? A poor family of a carpenter? Or would you like to be born in at least a middle-class family? How about that? Huh? Bill Gates. You see, it's the right choice. Of course, me too, brother. I would really choose to be in the household of Bill Gates. That would be the best. But when the Lord was born, he was born into a poor family, a carpenter. And he was looked down by so many people. And he grew up in the city of what? Nazareth. It's a very poor city. It was looked down by the Jews, the city of Nazareth. If you were born in Jerusalem, wow, at least in a priestly household, well, you'll be respected by everybody. You were born in a carpenter's family and in the city of Nazareth. How about that? Would you like to do that? Aren't you happy you were born in Manila, Quezon City, not somewhere in the mountains, in some kind of a tribe there? Would you prefer that? Definitely not. So from the beginning in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, he went through a lot of suffering. Even his own brothers and family and people in his hometown did not believe in him. Yeah. And then his own people rejected him. He went through all kinds of suffering. And yet the Lord accepted it without murmuring, without complaining. You know, yes, you may go through some sufferings, but I believe we all will complain a lot. Why did it happen to me? And why should it be me? Right? Unfair. We all, especially young people, we all like to say, it's not fair. It's not fair. Right? I hear a lot from the young people in the States. It's not fair. Well, why should it be fair? So the Lord went through all kinds of sufferings, and through that he learned what? Obedience. And he was perfected through all kinds of sufferings. Why? So that he can help you and me. A person who has not gone through sufferings will not be able to help anybody. So the Lord went through all kinds of temptation, all kinds of suffering, all kinds of challenges. And he came out victorious without any complaining. He learned obedience. And Philippians tells us that he was obedient even unto death on a cross. The Lord did not complain. Even going to the cross, the Lord did not complain. What about you and me? Just a little bit of suffering in a church life, or somebody misunderstood you or offended you a little bit, you'll have a long face the whole day. Right? You complain. If you have a client that gives you a hard time, immediately you say, why? Immediately you'd be complaining. Yeah, you have to do it. You went through this suffering, but you come home, you say, oh, terrible. You're going to tell your dad, wow. Right? You complain. I don't think you will ever hear a single complaint from the Lord. No. You know, when the Lord was choosing his 12 apostles, you know, one of them was who? Judas. If you were the Lord, and you pray, and the Lord prayed all night from the evening all the way to the morning, talking to the Father, who should be the apostles and my disciples, the close ones to me, right? And when the Father gave him the list, so to speak, and he went down the list of Peter is okay, check. John and James, okay, check. Right. Philip and Andrew, Philip, check. Matthew, check. Bartholomew, check. He went down the list, and at the end, Judas Iscariot. Judas, Father, did you make a mistake? Are you sure the last name is right? Okay. Did you think the Lord would ask the Father such a question? Why not? Tell me why not. Not just obedient. Of course he is obedient. He knows his Father, being God, will make no mistakes. You think the Father would make a mistake putting Judas Iscariot there? No, he definitely did not make a mistake, because Judas is going to fulfill God's purpose there. So God put Judas there. Now, if you went through the list and you are Jesus, what would you say? Suppose you have a very successful business and you know one of your employees is going to give you a lot of headaches and trouble and going to ruin your business. What are you going to do? You fire him, right? Why not? Wouldn't you fire him? Oh, yeah, we would. But did the Lord fire Judas? The Lord not only didn't fire Judas, he knew Judas loved money. He knew that. And he made Judas what? The treasurer. Oh, my goodness. He let Judas took care of the money. Of all the people to assign to be a treasurer, you assign a thief to be a treasurer. Would you like to do that? I wouldn't do that. Okay, Father, you want him to be one of my disciples and apostles. Okay. But appointing him as the treasurer, he is a thief. Would you do that? Did the Lord complain? Did the Lord say, no. I'm not going to let him take care of our money bag there. What would you do, Shufang? No, of course not. That's why in the church life, we like to fire everybody. I don't like him. Go home. Pretty soon, you don't like this one. Go home. Who do you not like in the church life? Maybe you thought, the Lord chose the wrong one. But the Lord went through all kinds of suffering. From his youth until he went to the cross. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. And now let Israel say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Yet, praise the Lord, they have not prevailed against me. You know, even with the nation of Israel surrounded by the enemies, boy, they have a lot of afflictions and problems. But the Lord was with Israel, with his people then. But unfortunately, his people were not obedient to God, but rebellious. Right? So now we can see in these Psalms that the Lord will allow the enemy to give you affliction, because it is good for you. Right? Then verse 3 says, the plowers plowed on my back. Your back is like a field, and a plower will be plowing on your back. How do you like that? How do you like people to step on your back? Would you like that? No, certainly not. And they made their furrows long. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Praise the Lord. Although the Lord went through so much sufferings on this earth, God did not allow the enemy to kill him and take his life. But he did not prevent the Lord from going through sufferings. So many times you may ask, even when you get sick, you may ask, Lord, why me? And Why did it have to happen to me? Right. We are all like that. We are shy of sufferings. We don't like sufferings. So you can really see. And at this point, I'd like you to read together 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter. Verse 10. Let us read together 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Praise the Lord. After you have what? Suffered a while. It's not too long, because we cannot bear it. But a while, a little bit each time. And the more you grow in life, the more the Lord will bring you through suffering. And this is the way the Lord is going to perfect you, to mature you, to establish you, strengthen you, and make you solid, to settle you. Many, many verses tells us this. Right? In 1 Peter 2, 3, and 4, right? The Lord really must take this way with us. Verse 12 of chapter 4, for example. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. No, it's not strange. It is very normal. Right? But what? Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. I think many of us do not have this concept. But suffering is really good for us, believe it or not. If you don't believe it, I can't convince you, right? But in my church life in the past 50 years, I can testify you today, I am very thankful for all the problems and sufferings I went through. I'm really thankful because I learned so much. Not through the positive things, of course also through the positive things, but much more so through all the difficulties and through the problems and persecutions and all the things that went through. And through all these, I experienced the Lord's presence, the Lord's strengthening, the help of the Lord. That indeed, the one who created the heavens and the earth is my help. And that he is faithful. And that he is trustworthy. Praise the Lord. You cannot learn these lessons by going to school. No, you cannot learn this. You cannot learn this just by reading the Bible. No, you have to go through the sufferings. And that will be used by the Lord to give you much grace. Because without the sufferings, you have no chance to enjoy and experience the grace of God. In order to experience more abundant grace, you need to go through. And our brother just gave a testimony this afternoon. The Lord gave him a little problem there, right? And it was through that little suffering the Lord has given you that softened your heart and turned you to him. Praise the Lord. And so in the church life, don't underestimate and don't despise or do not shy away from suffering. Don't be afraid of suffering. If you see what true sufferings can do to you, of course, if I robbed the bank and I suffered and got locked up in jail, well, that kind of suffering doesn't count, okay? Peter said so right here in chapter 4 later on. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's business. Verse 15. That kind of suffering doesn't count, okay? Right? If you did some bad things, or murder somebody, you're a thief, an evildoer, a busybody, and you suffer, that suffering doesn't count. But if you go through the sufferings prepared by God for you, of course, don't go about looking for sufferings. You don't need to, because God is going to prepare it for you. You don't have to look for it, okay? Please don't look for suffering. But it will come. And when it comes, and the Lord knows how much you can take, and when it comes, you turn to the Lord and take His grace. That's why it says, may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory, because without the sufferings, you cannot enter into the glory. Sorry, if you don't suffer a little bit by studying, do your homework, and you will not graduate. Right, Lorraine? Every time I see Lorraine, and I come the last 4 years in the Philippines, you know what she's carrying? She's carrying a book. She's always carrying the book. Right? Yes. So she's not carrying a book just to show Uncle John that she's a studious student, right? You can testify she's always carrying a book. Is it an enjoyment, Lorraine, to carry a book all the time, reading day and night? Is reading. But now you're a doctor. It pays, right? And now, this 1 year of internship, didn't you go through suffering? Did you like it? No. But what are you going to do? Give up medicine? No. You want to be a good doctor, you have to go through some sufferings. Otherwise, later on, if a doctor, if a patient is calling you, you're a doctor, and it happens to be midnight, he's dying, Lorraine, please come and help me. Sorry, I am going to bed right now. You think being a doctor is easy? You still want to be one, right? I feel sorry for you. But that's not why I quit, okay? You need to realize, spiritually, without suffering, it is not possible to enter into glory. I'm not just speaking it as a doctrine, no. Right? So we read 1 Peter chapter 4, but rejoice. If you can rejoice in suffering, you have learned the lesson. But if you have long faith and weeping and complaining, you still haven't been perfected yet. Right? But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, praise the Lord, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Praise the Lord. And if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God will rest upon you. This is wonderful. Learn this. especially brothers taking responsibility in the church life. If you are not able to suffer, you are not qualified to be a responsible brother in the church life. The hardest thing to deal with is people. Right? So either Gigi or Frank is saying why he didn't hire more people in your company. Why? Because the more employees, the more suffering. Am I right, Frank? You agree? Yes, you agree. So he says, no more, stop. Because it's hard to deal with people. And in a church life, we are dealing with what? We are dealing with people. And our job, you know what it is, to build up these people together in oneness. This is definitely the hardest job on earth to do. So may the Lord have mercy on us. One more portion of the scripture, and we end this topic. Okay, Sarati, it won't scare you away. And you say, oh no, I don't want to reach stage 4. Forget it. You say, John, may I skip stage number 4? Sorry, you cannot. Romans 8. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now we, praise the Lord, in Romans chapter 8, beginning in 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Definitely, we are children of God right now, but God doesn't want babies, children, and all just babies. No, God wants to perfect you. As the sons of God, it is in the interest of the Father to perfect us. Don't think the parents want you to be a bum. Right? No. All the parents want to see their children grow up and be successful. Right? So you need to be perfected. And God, as the Father, definitely would like to perfect us. Now, so, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. This is really good. But there is a but. If indeed we what? Again? Suffer. You like that? Don't say no. If you ask the Lord Jesus, do you like that? He will tell you, I have no choice. Don't say no. But you can at least say, I have no choice. That implies you are not absolutely happy with it, but you have to go through. So what other choice do you have if you don't want to go through suffering? You have any other choice? In the Philippines, you can have a lot of choices if, you know, you don't want to go through the suffering of traffic. So you go somewhere and you're there. But spiritually, there's no shortcut. No detour. You cannot avoid suffering. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him together. Still want to go on in your church life? Amen. Schubert. Praise the Lord. You all heard him, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. How about you, Charlie? We have no choice. What are we going to do? But praise the Lord. Even Paul here gives us a wonderful word. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. No comparison. No comparison. Compared to the glory that's going to be revealed, the suffering is just nothing. Nothing. If you have such a view, then you will say, Amen, Lord. Let it come. Father, let it come. Praise the Lord for the sufferings. 40 years ago, I did not realize that being in the church life will have so much suffering. I thought, wow, praise the Lord, I'm in Zion. My, we'll go from glory to glory. I never thought we'll go from suffering to suffering. But I only thought of going from glory to glory. Little did I expect that the Lord will lead us through. From what? From suffering to suffering. But that's the way we enter into glory. So back to these Psalms here. Praise the Lord. Even if you go through sufferings, the Lord is righteous. He will not let you be devoured. He will not let the enemy fully overcome you. No, definitely not. Right? But he has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. In due time, if you learn the lessons, if you can say, praise the Lord. So the earlier, the faster you learn the lesson and say, praise the Lord, rejoice, amen, thank you, Father, for the suffering, the earlier the Lord will cut the cord. Because, oh, praise the Lord, you learned the lessons, so that's it. You passed the test. Now, for the enemy who tries to give us problems and suffering, the only reason is because they hate Zion. So if we are for building up of Zion, the enemy will rise up. Because they hate Zion. The enemy, the power of darkness will not let you build up Zion in peace. So, are you afraid? No, don't be afraid. Because the Lord is with us. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame. And turn back. Amen. Let them be as the grass on the housetops. Have you ever seen the grass on the housetops? Yes. Is there much soil on the housetop? No. So, which withers before it even grows up. So this is a description of the enemy there. Right? With which the reaper does not fill his hand. You cannot even harvest a little bit of the grass. Let's say maybe you have a cow there. You cannot feed the cow with the grass on the rooftop. Nor he who binds sheaves his arms. At the end, they will become nothing. So, don't be jealous of them. Don't be envious, okay? Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. No, 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 no. No. And they will neither say, we bless you in the name of the Lord. No blessing for them. No blessing. This will happen to all those who hate Zion. You just wait. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. Because the Lord loves Zion. And anyone who hates Zion, they will have this kind of an end. Right. Now, let's go to Psalm 130, the next step up in this group. So what do you do when you go through sufferings? It says here, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Praise the Lord. Now your crying is out of the depths to the Lord. It is not very superficial. Whereas before it is superficial. But now it is out of the depths. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Now verse 3 is important. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, or to take note of iniquity, to really search out iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? No one could stand. That means at this stage, the believer here realizes his being even in a deeper way. Don't think that if you grow in life, the more you grow, the more you will think you are wonderful. No, no, no. The more you grow in life, the more you realize, my goodness, hidden from within my heart, there's still so much junk there, to say the least. When you're young, you don't know yourself that well. But the more you grow spiritually, the more you begin to see how corrupt our being is. That's why you cry out from your depths, Lord, save me. Yeah. Because if you, Lord, will mark iniquity or search out iniquity, because God knows all things. You cannot hide anything from God. So if God will find fault in you, man, he has a lot to find. And don't ever think because you have been a Christian for 40 years and serving God for so many years, there's nothing wrong with you anymore. No. I have seen many, after serving God for 40, 50, 60, 70 years, my goodness, it's a lot of trouble, yeah, if it is not dealt with. So the more we truly grow spiritually, the more you realize that this flesh is so corrupt. Right? But, praise the Lord, there is forgiveness with you. This is the good news. This is the good news. So you will appreciate the forgiveness. And if you have learned forgiveness from him, you will be a person who can also forgive others. Otherwise, you will not forgive others. No. Remember, the Lord teach us how to pray and forgive us our debt. Is that all? Period. What does it say further? As we forgive others. Now, if you have not experienced the forgiveness of the Lord because you have not seen the nature, the true nature of our fallen being, then it's hard for you to forgive others. Right? He says, thank goodness there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. This word has wisdom in it. Because of that, you learn to fear God. You learn to fear God. Because if God would judge you, then we're finished. The forgiveness that God has given you does not give you the license to commit the same mistake again and again. So when you receive the forgiveness, you realize what is in you, and you receive the forgiveness of God, what you need to learn is to fear the Lord. And say, Lord, save me. I don't want to do this again. Take this out of my heart and out of my being. Right? Even in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul realized there is a judgment for us Christians. So he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, my, I only heard the love of the Lord. You know, I have never heard a message about the terror of the Lord. Have you? No? You want me to give you a conference about the terror of the Lord next time I come to Manila? The topic will be the terror of the Lord. How about that? I don't think any of you would come to the conference. There won't be any conference next year because he's coming to share with us the terror of the Lord. So forget about it. No conference. Terror. So what did Paul say? Knowing the terror of the Lord, we do our best to live a life that is well-pleasing to him. Learn to fear the Lord. Right? So these verses are wonderful. Then he says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his hope, in his word do I hope. And he said, now my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. Have you experienced sleepless nights? Have you? No? Never? Not? Have you? Suppose you cannot sleep. Oh, it's 1 o'clock, you keep on looking at the night. You cannot sleep. You look again, you thought, oh, it's almost morning. Oh, it's only 2 o'clock. I thought it's already 4. And then you try to sleep again, and after 5 minutes, you thought it's a long time already. You look again, oh, it's only 3. But for you, the night becomes so long because you couldn't sleep, right? So you're watching, you're hoping that the morning would come, wouldn't you? You're too young, you don't have sleepless night. You're too young, you don't have sleepless night. But many of us old folks, we have sleepless nights. And you're waiting for the morning to come. Now are you waiting for the Lord? More than those who watch for the morning? Is that your desire toward the Lord? So you can see the whole person, the whole being of this person ascending becomes different from stage to stage. You can see the change of this person. Then he said, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is not only forgiveness, now he said there is mercy, much mercy. You know, if you realize the kind of person we are as human beings, so fallen in nature, then you will appreciate the mercy of the Lord. And with him is abundant redemption, not just a little bit. Now he realized and he experienced abundant, much redemption. Are you saved? Anna, you saved? Yes, how much? Abundantly? Or meagerly? or vaguely? Or hardly? Or barely saved? A lot of people say, yes, of course I'm saved. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are barely saved. This is what Paul said in Hebrews. If the believers are barely saved, what will happen to those unbelievers? So we need to experience salvation abundantly. If I ask a person, do you have money? Oh, yes, yes. How much? 1 peso. Okay, that's also money. That's fine. But it's not abundantly. Are you saved? Yes. How much? 1 peso worth of salvation. How about that? How much is that? How much salvation? Much more, Romans tell us. Much more. I want to be saved much more. Don't you? No, of course you do. Don't be so humble, you know. Say it. Amen. I want to be saved more abundantly. When it comes to enjoying God, I want to be positively greedy. Oh, he said, oh, John, you're greedy. That's right. I want everything to grab of this wonderful God and my Savior. Did not the Lord say, I came that they might have life and to have it a little bit more? No. But have it more abundantly. And if the Lord has that to offer, I tell you, I'm going to tell the Lord every drop of it, please. Every drop of it. You ask in all the churches, especially in Fountain Valley, you know, when they're breaking a bread, when they were breaking bread and passing the bread around, everyone is so, what? How can I describe them? So key, Abba. So shy. No, not shy. Key, no? And just take just a little piece of the bread. But when the plate was passed on to me, I picked the largest one. And I take 2 pieces because I told the Lord I want double portion of you. And I enjoy that. In my heart, I told the Lord I want a double portion of the Lord. Johan, how about you? So next time, if everybody wants to do that, you need to make a bigger, bigger piece of bread. Otherwise, when it passes around to you, there's none left. No, I'm just telling you to show you that our desire for the Lord must be enlarged. Your appetite for heavenly things must increase. Your appetite for the food here can decrease. It's all right. But your appetite for the Lord must increase. By this step here, my, he was abundant redemption. With him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from his iniquities. Praise the Lord. Such an enjoyment, an experience, a desire for more of Christ. Exactly what Paul desired in Philippians. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I want to be conformed to his death and I want to reach the best resurrection. I want to have a spiritual summa cum laude. How about that? Don't you? I hope you graduate top and not the bottom. Spiritually. Praise the Lord. Then finally, we go to 131, and you can see what happened to such a person. In the second stage, he experienced a proud, arrogant person. He saw that our fallen self is so proud. You know, why is it that people resist and even be against God because they are so proud? That's why God resists the proud. And now, the last psalm of this group number 4 begins with what? Let's read it together. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. What a wonderful psalm. You know, if you grow, the more you mature, the more you will be a humble person. I've seen a lot of people, after serving the Lord for a long time, they become so proud. They thought, well, God can't do it without me. They thought, I have done so many things. But that is not spiritual growth. The real spiritual growth here is in Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not proud. And he is not saying it out of humility. It's not false humility. But now he has learned the lesson. Can you imagine? This psalm is written by David. That is why of this songs of ascent here, this psalm is specially written of David. David is what? Is he a servant? Is he just one of those little guys? What is he? He's the king. The king. What kind of a king? He is a great king. He subdued all the enemies during his days. And the kingdom, through the kingship of David, Israel was finally stabilized. Feared by all the nations at that time. For such a king, if you were such a king, what do you think you would be? Sitting on the throne. Wow. I think if we were such a king, if you and I was, wow, in such a position, we would be very, very proud. But David says, Lord, my heart is not haughty. He is saying to the Lord, who searches the heart, nor my eyes lofty. You don't look down on people. You don't despise others. Neither do I concern myself with great matters. Such a man like David, nor with things too profound for me. My, at this point, if you reach this point, you are really transformed. You are really transformed. He says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, so nothing will disturb him anymore. Yeah. With us, you know, if you are a proud person, or if you think you're so great, your eyes can see so many things. And you'll not be calmed. But he says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Now his soul is calm, not active anymore. Hoping on the Lord. He's relying fully on this wonderful God. And he compared himself to a weaned child with his mother. Can you imagine David was such a person? He's a king, you know. He's a king. But before God, he was like a weaned child. A child just separated from the mother's breastfeeding and just barely begin to eat independently and yet lying in a mother's side here. What a person. You think David acted like a weaned child? No, definitely not. But within his heart, this shows that David really lowered himself and hoping in God. He realized that everything came from him. Remember David when he was young, who tried to kill him? Saul tried to kill him. And how many times he escaped from Saul? Many, many times. And every time he experienced the protection of the Lord. So David went through a lot of sufferings, whereas Solomon didn't. Now, let me read Matthew chapter 18 with you all before we close. You know, the apostles of the Lord, his disciples, especially the 12, when they were with the Lord on this earth, they always quarrel about one thing. They quarrel about one thing. Chapter 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Would you dare to ask such a question? Huh? Would you ask the Lord such a question? Yes or no? He's still considering. You don't need to consider. Why? Who is the greatest in the kingdom? He is. You know, if you were in China several thousand years ago, 4,000 or 5,000, and you asked the Chinese emperor there, Emperor Charlie, who is the greatest in the kingdom? You know what's going to happen to you? Exactly. Exactly. Immediately. Why do you ask such a question? Don't you know he is the greatest? Then you must have a hidden desire to be the greatest. Well, good thing the Lord is not like a Chinese emperor. Otherwise, they're all going to lose their heads. So they ask here in Matthew chapter 18, who then is the greatest? Meaning to say, who amongst us your disciples? Because they were quarreling and saying, who would be the greatest when the Lord comes back in his kingdom? They're trying to among themselves to have the highest position. Even the mother of Mary, the mother of John and James joined in the quarrel and came to the Lord Jesus because of, you know, pulling strings. It was a Filipino way, you know. He came to the Lord, and the Lord asked the mother, what can I do for you? What do you want from me? And the mother says to him, Lord, when you come in your kingdom, and I happen to have two sons, can one of them be in your right hand and the other one your left? Even the mother joined in. And the rest of the 10, when they heard that, they were angry, indignant. These two brothers even asked their mother to come and ask the favor just because they are relatives. Anyway, so what did the Lord say? What did the Lord do? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, verily, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will not talk about who is the greatest, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. By no means. So here, if you grow, the more you grow, the more you will experience this in your relationship with the Lord. You will be just like a weaned child who still need the mother's care and protection. So much relying on the mother. Just as David relied so much in God. You may not think this looks like maturity. The more you mature, the more you become a big man and not a small child. But spiritual sense is different than our natural concept. The more you mature in spiritual life, the more you become a weaned child with the mother, meaning to say, the more you learn to fully rely on this living God. This is the state of maturity. Praise the Lord. And this is group 4. So I think we can make it tomorrow. Group 5. We'll go to the top of this ascent. Praise the Lord. I think we can stop here. You just go through the outline yourself. Praise the Lord. Amen.